إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask Allah for assistance. Verily, whomever Allah guides, such as this fresh brother off the box right here, no one can misguide. And whomever Allah leads astray because of some sickness in them, then nobody can guide but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that only Allah is the only one deserving of being worshipped. Deserving of being worshipped. That there is no deity worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and one of his messengers. Today's khutbah was regarding a group of individuals within the mamlaka. And the Shaykh, before he entered into that, he first gave an introduction. And the introduction was about the fact that among the nations on earth, in the previous times, in the current one, and the ones who will come after us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always protect those who have among them people enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Those people who are calling for goodness. Once that element is missing from some sort of community, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes inevitable for them. But yet, and so the principle here is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Muslims in the Quran, He says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. When Allah spoke about the Muslims, He said, you were the best nation. You were the best people to ever go out to people. Why? Is it just a claim? Are Muslims the best just because we are Muslims, so of course we're going to call ourselves the best? Or do we have something to back up our claim? Inevitably we have something to back up our claim. It is what Allah says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you order that which is good. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you forbid that which is evil. And you believe in Allah. The proper belief in Allah. So the quality of Muslims or any nation to enjoin the good and forbid the evil is very conditional to whether they will live a peaceful life of security. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Whether they will live a life of security or a life of fear. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. And punishment. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So you will find, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran about the nations that came before us, that what happened was the messenger will be sent to them. And the messenger will come with the message that you shall worship none but Allah. And that you are to obey me, whoever the messenger is, whether it's Waalaikum salam rahmatullah, whether it is Waalaikum salam rahmatullah, whether it is Noah, Waalaikum salam rahmatullah barakatuh, whether it is Noah or Abraham or Jesus or Moses or any other prophet whom Allah sent to his people, his main goal, his main job was to tell the people, worship none but Allah. Because the people, since the time of Nuh until today, they find different objects of worship that they come up with on their own. Wallah, the sun looks nice, let's worship the sun. How about the moon? Let's worship the moon. Let's worship this angel. Let's worship this prophet. Let's worship this saint. Let's worship this cross. Let's worship this rock. People worship anything. And they dedicate and they sacrifice and they give love and affection and devotion to something that Allah created. And they leave alone Allah. Or they make equals with Allah. And this is the quality of human beings, subhanAllah. So Allah sent messengers to guide the people from the darkness of having so many gods. Because when you devote something, when you love something, when you sacrifice something for something, it becomes a god for you. Otherwise, if it was unimportant, who cares? And that's why you find a dude, a guy will fall in love with a woman so much that she becomes his god. And he worships her. and he thinks about her, dreams about her, lives for her, dies for her. If somebody was going to shoot her, he would jump, take the bullet for some moment to live afterwards. And this is love. This is the epitome of love. Like, you can't love anybody more than that. So people have this kind of love towards something other than Allah. And once this is the case, then this is when the people are playing with the danger zone. And this is when the people are about to receive Allah's punishment, whether in this world or in the hereafter. Because they have went against the core of existence, the core of the purpose of existence, which is to worship Allah alone. As Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Dhariyat. Remember this verse. Because if you deal with non-Muslims, you will have to quote evidences. And this is the difference between Muslims and non-Muslims. We have evidence, we have knowledge, we have information that has been traced back, studied, approved by history and historians that it is authentic. Everybody else has a bunch of claims. In the Quran, Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have only created jinn, which is another form of creation made of smokeless fire, and ins, the son of Adam, to worship me. That's it. This is why we're here. This is what you will be asked for when you leave here. Not this room, this earth. When you die and you are resurrected, even before you're resurrected in the grave, you will be asked by the angels. But assuming that we're talking about the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment, when each one of us will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one of us, without any translators, as the Prophet ﷺ told us in a narration, each one of you will speak to his Lord, one to one, and there'll be no translators. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Allah created you and the language that you speak. So Allah understands. And the first thing that the person will be asked about is his belief system. What did you believe about your Creator? Did you attribute children to Him? Did you disrespect Him? Did you ignore Him? Did you not care for Him? Did you use everything that He gave you and put it somewhere else? Did you benefit from the sight that He gave you? From the mind that He gave you? From the hearing that He gave you? From the body that is working and functioning properly? From the family and the children? From the mother and father? Did you benefit from all these, or did you just use them for entertainment purposes? Just like a greedy person does. You keep giving him and he keep taking, he doesn't give you nothing back in return, he doesn't appreciate it. You will not like this individual. If you had a friend like this, who all he does is, give me brother. Give something back. No. At least benefit the society, the community, no. Only for selfish needs. Nobody would like this individual. And this is the state of the disbeliever with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They take everything from Allah. They have nothing that they got on their own, except that Allah gave it to them. Yet, they're too busy with all the signs in the world that indicate La ilaha illallah. Yet they're too busy to see them. As Allah says, they have eyes that they do not see with, and they have ears that they do not hear with, and they have minds that they do not understand with. Verily, they are like the animals. No, they are more astray. And we dealt with this before. So the idea here is that the Muslims are a special kind of people. And in order for us to be protected in our homes, and for the society to be protected, we have to enjoin the good, command the good, and forbid the evil. This is a quality that every messenger had. This is a quality that the successful people will have. So in order, and the Shaykh was mentioning the difference between Saudiya, for instance, and all the other countries in the world. And this is something that everybody approve of, even the other countries, that this land has the least problems and crimes and other issues. Not saying there's none, we will be lying. They're starting to come in from all the different bombarding, all the disbelievers are bombarding the Muslims with all kind of ideologies, news, media, any means, in order to get us outside, out the box, so we could be like them. So it is coming in slowly but surely. Yet at the current moment, this land is the most peaceful, and people still have some sort of shame. As soon as you go outside of this country, even to other neighboring Muslim Arab countries, you will start seeing a whole bunch of things as far as dress code for the woman and other things that are cause of a trial for a man. So, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, that this country has a hay'ah, has a group of people called Hay'at al-Amr bil-Ma'roof wa Nahy an al-Munkar. You might be familiar with them. And the Shaykh was basically, the khutbah was in defense for them. He was defending them because there are some of these sick newspaper article writers who have nothing else to do but to pick on the brothers and to find faults in them and to publish them to the people, belittling the status of the enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Thus making the people look down at them, thus trying to take out the society and the community from within. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the Jews, He says that the Jews were cursed. The Jews, those who disbelieved in Jesus. Those who said that Mary brought Him from fornication. The Jews who wanted to crucify Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give Him the pleasure of doing so. And He raised Him to Him. And He is still alive. Jesus Christ. Those who the Jews hated and detested and wanted to kill. Allah says about them, they were cursed on the tongue of David and Isa and Jesus. Why? Because they used to disbelieve in Allah and they used to kill the prophets and they used to never forbid any evil. And the Prophet ﷺ explained it in another narration. He says, a Jew will come sit with another Jew. One of them is okay, righteous, and the other one is corrupt. And he will find him doing all kinds of corrupt things. So he will tell him, my friend, you gotta leave that stuff alone. He doesn't listen to him. The next day, my friend, hey man, you better leave this stuff alone. 3 days, 4 days, anyways. He keeps reminding him, this person does not take the reminder, yet that Jew would say, alright, oh well, I did my part. I told him, he doesn't listen, but I can still be friends with him. So then he accepted and he agreed upon the evil of his friend, then both of them became upon evil, and thus they used to never enjoy and forbid any evil, and they were cursed. Which is an indication that as Muslims we cannot follow these footsteps. Because this is the footsteps of destruction. If you see your brother upon error, if you see your family members upon error, whether they are Muslims from back in the day, or whether they're non-Muslims, then the biggest evil is that they're non-Muslims. And it is upon you to learn what is sufficient for you to relay the message for them, in order for them to be saved. Because dying as anything other than Islam is going to be a total loss on the Day of Judgment. And we say this with confidence. And Allah knows that this is the only truth. Whether people would like to digest it or not, whether people like it or not, that doesn't matter. Claims are empty unless there's some backup proof. And Islam has all the proof that it is the only true religion on earth. And everything else is a bunch of philosophies, ideologies, and innovations that none of the messengers have taught. So it's a very crucial issue. That we brothers enjoin the good and forbid the evil. So the Shaykh was advising us to be careful. No problem. That'd be 17 riyal. You pay it next month, inshallah. Maybe not. So it is a very crucial thing, brothers. So we need to honor anytime you see somebody enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, know that he has jealousy for the religion of Allah. And that there's some sort of goodness in this individual. Because a person who does not have this quality has weak faith. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the narration, whomever sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. If he is unable to do so, because sometimes the situation doesn't allow you to change the evil with your hand, because you will cause more problems. Tayyib, he says, if you're unable to do so, then change it with your tongue. Meaning say something about it. Sometimes you will not be able to do so either, because you will get yourself in more trouble. And Islam came to keep trouble away. So if you're going to do something to stop some trouble, and it will bring more trouble, then you leave alone that trouble so you won't bring more trouble. You understand what I'm saying? So you can stay safe. If you're unable to change it with your tongue, then with your heart. Meaning you disapprove of it in your heart. But then the Prophet ﷺ made a comment. He said, and this is the weakest of faith. This means that our faith is weak. We see people doing busted things, doing haram things, doing things that are not pleasing to Allah, and we act like nothing is going on. And we don't advise. Say, yeah, brother, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not permissible for you. And we see our family members or our wives, if they're Muslims, dressing according to this new method of dressing, where they put full makeup, as the brother was mentioning, and they show half of their hair, and they're wearing a jilbab that shows all their body parts. Yani a bunch of fake stuff, and a person will walk with his wife like nothing is going on, while every other man is looking at your wife. And this is just really troubling. Whenever you see a man having his wife, brothers, being an item that he decorates. So when he walks outside, people will look at her and admire her. What do you think about this man? What would you think about this man? There's something wrong with this man. Akhi, Allah created us as men with a special quality. That quality is being jealous for you women folks. You don't let nobody disrespect your mom. You don't let nobody touch your sister. You don't let nobody look at your daughter. Allah created you this way. This is there in the human being, unless the shaitan is in there too strong. Then he turns it off. He turns off the switch. So you see a man walking with his wife like he just picked her up from a magazine. And they go into the store and she's sitting there talking to all the guys. And he's just standing there like a tree. No feeling, no jealousy, no care. Yeah, this is your wife, protect her, this is yours. You want to enjoy her, go enjoy her at home. You let everybody else enjoy her. Some men might be good upon deen when they see another woman. They lower their gaze, they don't look. Some other men, they don't care. He look at her, whoa. And the man is standing right there. This, as Muslims, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is definitely a fundamental issue over here. If you see your Muslim brother like this, or even his wife like this, tell him on the side, Ya akhi, fear Allah with your wife. You're responsible for her on the Day of Judgment. What are you doing? Allowing her to dress like this and be a temptation for other men. Don't you feel jealous for your women folks? You remind him. You don't just say, no, maybe he'll get hurt, maybe. There are times where you have to have wisdom how to bring the information, but you have to bring the information. And you have to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Otherwise, once we leave that alone, then we will be destroyed. When corruption spreads upon earth, as Allah promised in the Quran, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And you don't have to look far. Look in the United States. Texas, every other week there's a flood. People drown, die. Orlando, Florida, hurricanes, tornadoes came, took out a whole city. Los Angeles, earthquake, half of the people gone many years ago. You will find, or any other country, even Indonesia, when the people, and you see in the picture, while the floods were coming, and I seen a footage of when the tsunami was coming, while it's coming, you see the affair, you see the situation of these Muslims over there. You see how the women were dressed and the appearance of them. Wallahi, you will understand what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and He forgives and He pardons and He gives people some time. But once the people have transgressed and passed the limit, then nobody could return the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a serious issue. And it will eventually befall on Saudiya and any other country. Allah will cause division among them, and there will be lack of rain, lack of fruits, lack of health, and you will find diseases coming up for people from everywhere, and there will be no security. And as human beings, we need security. You need to have security to live. So as new Muslims, or old Muslims, or whatever your status in Islam is, understand and know that it is our obligation to have enough knowledge in order to be able to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And not to leave alone this big, big role and this big element of Islam. It's upon the shoulders of the new Muslims to bring to the old Muslims that which they have left alone.
نعم.
أمر مترفيها. نعم. There's more than one verse.
Did
Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, if Allah wants to destroy a people, He will allow, and He will allow those who are the leaders and those who are the forerunners in transgression to transgress. Then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come upon them, and there will be none to return it. And you know what happened to the people of Lut, and those people who were doing the fahisha like other men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a punishment like no other nation. Jibreel came and split the earth, lifted it all the way up to the heavens, turned it around, and boom! Then stones were thrown at them. Yani Allah gave them all kinds of punishments. And this is very serious. And this is one of the dangers of living among the disbelievers. Because they do these things so commonly, and it's so common and so spread, that when the punishment of Allah comes, nobody knows, nobody can guarantee that we will be saved. Except if we are enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, then bi-idhnillah we will be protected according to the Quran, textual evidences from this Quran and the Sunnah. So brothers and sisters, I'm sorry, I'm used to speaking usually to both genders. Right. Brothers, I know, I'm sorry. Just yesterday it was brothers and sisters. Brothers, I remind myself and you to enjoin the good, forbid the evil, because it is loving each other for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, none of you shall truly believe, none of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So if you love Iman for yourself, if you love success for yourself, if you love paradise for yourself, then you need to have this feeling also to your Muslim brother and sister. So don't leave them alone and take all the good by yourself and leave them wandering in darknesses. Enlighten them, inform them. If you don't have enough knowledge, bring somebody who has enough knowledge. Find a fatwa that is already available and print it on a paper. Say, look, I cannot explain it to you, but the Shaykh could. But don't leave that quality alone. Then the Shaykh at the second part of the khutbah gave advice to the people who are doing exams. Anybody here doing some final exams? No. This is for the children in school. Now, barakallah. The Shaykh, if he doesn't come with us, I'll be in trouble, wallah, many times. I'm sorry. Surah Luqman actually speaks about, which verse was it? Na'am. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Luqman, when he advised his son, Luqman, we spoke about Luqman, I think, last khutbah or the khutbah before, or last time we got together. Luqman, Luqman radiallahu anhu, when he wanted to advise his son, Luqman was a wise man, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. And there's a surah, a chapter called Luqman. When he was advising his son, he says, Ya Bunayya, Aqim as-salata. No. Ya Bunayya. La, he didn't mention four though. We dealt with this last time, inshallah. Well, if the same brother was mentioned in that, which was mentioned in the beginning of the Luqman, when he advised his son, he said, do not associate any partners with Allah. Verily, because associating partners with Allah is the biggest oppression. And remember, we discussed this last time. I don't remember who and when. Then when he went on, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ Luqman told the son, my son, establish the salah. Enjoin that which is good and forbid that which is evil. Verily, this is from among the things that need strong intentions and strong determination. It requires determination in order to establish the salah properly, not the salah of a chicken or the salah of a monkey, you know, tick 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 and all this playing stuff. We're talking about salah. Somebody standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking for guidance, serious about this world, serious about the hereafter, he knows what's going on. And enjoying the good and forbid the evil. This is the quality that Luqman was teaching to his son. Furthermore, we need to follow their footsteps apparently, and we need to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, which is relevant to what we were mentioning earlier. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ And be patient upon that which falls upon you. Be patient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. We will be tested with the lack of wealth. Maybe you don't have enough dinero. Maybe you will be tested with the lack of health. Maybe you will suffer from some sort of disease. It could be a major disease, it could be a minor disease, it is at various levels. But we are advised to be patient, because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, verily Allah are with those who are patient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with them in a sense that Allah will support them, Allah will assist them, Allah will make it easy for them when they are patient, when calamity befalls upon them. So being patient is a great deal in Islam. It is half of the faith. Half of your faith is being patient. طيب. So the Shaykh then mentioned at the end, he was given advice to the students who are about to take an exams, because apparently some people have spread some narrations, supposedly a supplication you say before the exam. And these supplications are not authentic. They were never taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the Shaykh was warning from doing them, because we only worship Allah according to what we have from textual evidence. You don't worship Allah according to your desire. So these supplications they have are unauthentic. So the Shaykh told them, do not believe in these newly spread narrations about specific supplications before the exam, because they're not authentic. On the other hand, what we have from the Quran and the Sunnah is sufficient, and he gave them some advice from the Quran and the Sunnah what to say when you are being tested. He taught them that when you leave the house, and this is something that we need to learn, there's a supplication that you say whenever you leave your house, whenever you leave your home. When you leave, you say, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, I rely upon Allah, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. There's no power, there's no ability to establish anything except with Allah. Then you say, Allahumma ni'udhu bika an azilla aw uzal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you that I shall trip or make others trip. And not trip in the sense of physical trip, but meaning to cause people to trip off the faith. Aw adilla aw udal, or that I miss, or I get misguided, or that I misguide someone, or get misguided myself. Aw adlimu aw udlam, or that I get oppressed or oppress somebody else. Aw ajhala aw yujhala alay, or that I become ignorant or somebody else becomes ignorant against me. And so this is a supplication that the Prophet ﷺ used to practice, and he taught the Muslim followers to do the same thing. It is means of being protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you make the supplication when you leave your home. So you could say this before you go into some sort of exam or test, or you say this actually anytime you leave the house. And this is what the Shaykh mentioned more or less, with more textual evidences that I was not able to bring, and the brother helped with a few of them which I was not even about to bring. So may Allah reward him, and may Allah reward you for listening, and give you more patience for staying away from the ice cream, which I'm sure a lot of you are thinking about right now. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.